57, and the nays are 150. The bill is passed.
Now, that bill would provide relief to farmers, victims of hurricanes and floods, and help rebuild southern military bases, but legislation has stalled in the Republican-controlled Senate as President Trump and other Republicans object to the amount of funding for Puerto Rico. China trade talks are over for the time being. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin on those trade talks.
They were constructive discussions between both parties. That's all we're going to say.
Thank you.
And a final look at your numbers on Wall Street to end the week. The Dow was up 114 points to close at 25,942. The NASDAQ gained 6, the S&P 11. This is USA Radio News.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The House of Representatives passes a $19 billion disaster relief bill on Friday.
On this vote, the yeas are 257 and the nays are 150. The bill is passed.
Now, that bill would provide relief to farmers, victims of hurricanes and floods, and help rebuild southern military bases, but legislation has stalled in the Republican-controlled Senate as President Trump and other Republicans object to the amount of funding for Puerto Rico. China trade talks are over for the time being. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin on those trade talks.
They were constructive discussions between both parties. That's all we're going to say.
Thank you.
And a final look at your numbers on Wall Street to end the week. The Dow was up 114 points to close at 25,942. The NASDAQ gained 6, the S&P 11. This is USA Radio News.
Get mom a great gift from Kohl's and get a little something for yourself. $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. Give her a Philosophy Amazing Grace bath gift set, just $55, and get $10 Kohl's cash. Or a Diamond Heart pendant, only $109.99, and you'll get $20 Kohl's cash. Plus, take $10 off your $50 or more Mother's Day gift purchase, Thursday through Sunday at Kohl's. Select styles. $10 offer valid May 1st through 12th with promo code MOMSDAY10. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
The two suspects accused in the shooting at a Colorado school this week have had their hearings postponed. The students were both scheduled to appear in court on Friday, but prosecutors and defense attorneys agreed to push back their hearings to the morning of May 15th. The postponement comes as investigators look into reports whether a private security guard may have fired on a deputy sheriff on the day of the shooting and could have possibly hit a student. 109 hate crime charges have been leveled against a 19-year-old gunman in last month's shooting at a Southern California synagogue. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
The charges were announced by Robert S. Brewer, Jr., the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of California.
A criminal complaint charges John Ernest with 109 counts, including 54 counts of obstruction of free exercise of religious beliefs resulting in death and bodily injury and involving the attempt to kill.
Each count could carry the death penalty. I'm John Clemens.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Vice President Mike Pence on Friday renewed his call for Democratic leadership to strip freshman lawmaker Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota of her seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
Look, Ilhan Omar has made statements, anti-Semitic comments, statements against our most cherished ally, Israel, that ought to be rejected by every American. And frankly, the fact that very recently she's been trying to blame the United States of America for the deprivation and the poverty brought on by the dictatorship in Venezuela, just it tells me, look, the people of Minnesota will decide whether or not she remains in Congress. But Congresswoman Ilhan Omar has no place on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and the Democratic leadership ought to remove her.
The vice president was also asked on Fox and Friends about the latest news regarding North Korea and them testing of short-range missile.
President Trump truly believes that Chairman Kim wants to negotiate. But as he said yesterday, it doesn't look like he wants to negotiate right now. And so look, we're going to continue to stand firm.
And finally, as many of you know, Sunday is Mother's Day. A recent AT&T survey estimated that 122 million phone calls are made to moms on Mother's Day. Now, 11% say they never call their mothers on Mother's Day. Shame on those folks. And 3% may collect calls to their mom. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Well, I can't help but chuckling over the fact the news, if you listened, said that 3% of the people calling their moms on Mother's Day make it collect calls. I mean, that's pretty incredible. And I guess that the 122 million phone calls, I don't guess they can really figure out that's to mothers, but apparently they are claiming that that many calls are made. So, yes, Sunday is Mother's Day, and everybody should remember their mom, and hopefully that's a good memory. And when I say everybody should remember their mom, unfortunately, there are some people who would only have bad memories. And for them, find a substitute mom. This is the Sports Guys. I'm going to bring you the weather. And if John and Bill are not yet here, I'm going to talk a little bit about a super mom from one of the young men who were drafted this year. And there are so many of them. But let's get to the weather first, if I can pull it up. Earlier they said there were possible hazardous weather conditions, and that's still coming up. And that's the Somerville Airport. Not sure why, because this afternoon, although there was a chance of showers, at least in the Flemington-Clinton area, I didn't see any showers, looked like it. Tonight, it may be because of tonight, we do have a 60% chance of showers, and then there's about a 40% chance of some thunderstorms, so that could be what they're talking about. By tomorrow, best day of the weekend, mostly sunny. Should be nice, not hot, but about a high of 68 degrees. So that should really be a good day tomorrow. Unfortunately, there's a 70% chance of rain likely on Sunday. Not great for Mother's Day, but I guess we don't have to have picnics quite this early in the season. And Sunday night, Monday, and even Tuesday, not in for good weather. And is certainly not getting, not predicted to be above 70 any of the days. So those are, you know, that's what's happening this weekend. Try to get out tomorrow because that will be a good day. And I'm going to start out. I'm Pat Smith. I'm one of your sports guys. Not sure. I expect John. Haven't talked to Bill, but certainly was expecting him also. But I wanted to tell you about what I considered a pretty touching story. Everybody who expects to be drafted, obviously, they try to have some kind of parties, either at home, somewhere, for those guys who, you know, don't come. In this case, it was Nashville, Tennessee, which was an incredible draft, from what I understand. At times, they said there were 300,000 people and even more who went to Nashville to participate in some of the activities. But in any event, I'm going to focus on Nicole Clark. And she's the mom of Kenneth Dwayne Clark Jr. And, you know, what we'll find out, of course, or what you don't know, is he was drafted by the Packers. But all she heard in the days heading up to the 2016 NFL draft. Now, he was drafted, you know, a couple of years ago. At this point, but all she heard then was that this year, of course, and I guess if I was confusing, I didn't mean to be, this year the draft was in Nashville. But this was the 2016 NFL draft, and she's in California, and they kept hearing that she should rent this event space for 2 days because, you know, the chance was that he'd go in the second round. But apparently they had an electronic billboard announcing his draft party was taking place on April 28th, which was the first day of the draft. And according to his mom, it wasn't going to be necessary to book the second day because he was going to go the first day. So she, you know, he was flooded with T-shirts, hats, and everything imaginable. That apparently she took a little something for herself, a small Packers beanie that she noticed near the bottom of the everything that was flooding in. And she brought that hat with her to the hotel on draft night. So whether she had a premonition, I guess we don't know. But she said, "I'm standing in the door of my room, and I looked back at that beanie, and I said to Kenny, what do you think that means? This is the only thing we have left from the combine stuff." And his response was, obviously, you never know. So there were more than 250 people in attendance at the party. You know, at first, apparently, everybody was calm because Clark was not pegged to be drafted in the top 15. But that didn't stop his mom from saying, who is that? And you better, whenever somebody was selected, you're better than him. After every selection that Commissioner Roger Goodell read. So finally, the Packers went on the clock at number 26, and Clark's phone rang with a call from the general manager at the time. It was Ted Thompson, and as the gathered crowd began to roar, obviously, he was selected by the Packers, and apparently she just sprinted over to her son and asking, who's that, who's that, who's calling? Everybody was telling her, it's Green Bay, it's Green Bay. And, you know, so everyone started screaming when he got that call. And what's really important is not only this woman, Nicole Clark, but so many of the women, when you look behind some of the football players and the women who raised them, and so often, unfortunately, it was by single moms. So according to what people say about her, never one to seek handouts, but always the first to give. She was called Auntie Nikki, and welcomed dozens of cousins into her family's four-room house, I think. And, you know, what we've heard from the statistics aren't good, but she always said, I don't want my children to be a statistic. She was determined that her kids were not going to be gangbangers. They were not going to be drug dealers. And she took it on herself to make sure that they stayed focused. She really was determined. She had gone through vocational school. She worked as a nursing assistant and finally settled down with her high school sweetheart, Kenny Clark Sr. The Clark's family story, and I'm repeating, it was told extensively leading up to the NFL draft because, unfortunately, in May 20, 2005, Kenny Sr. was arrested, charged, and later convicted of second-degree murder after a man was shot and killed outside a liquor store. Although he maintains his innocence, he's serving a 55-year sentence at San Luis Obispo prison in California. So needless to say, that incident rocked the family to its core. Kenny Jr. was only 9 years old at the time, and his mom suddenly became a single parent and with four children. Kenny's the oldest, and then his younger siblings. So she had to sell their house. She had to temporarily pull Kenny out of football for a year because of all the court proceedings. It was obviously a heart-wrenching decision because that's what Kenny and his father really mostly bonded over. And for those of us who grew up in Wisconsin, we certainly understand that because many of us, girls and boys, that's what we bonded with our fathers. I hate to say it, back in the day I was growing up, there weren't as many moms who were as enthusiastic about football. Apparently, from everything I've read and heard, she, meaning his mom, was not the one who was pushing him to football. In fact, she at one point said she didn't really want her baby to play, but he loved it, and he absolutely loved it. And when she took him out for a season, it just devastated him. So she didn't want to do anything to hurt him, and he'd been hurt enough, and so she basically allowed him to go back into football. And my compadre and co-host, John, is just walked in, and so what I'm going to do is just tell him to let him to get settled. I'll play a couple spots, a couple commercials, and then we'll be back to do the program. Looks like Bill isn't going to be here today. So, John, all I've been doing is talking a little bit about the draft, and because it's Mother's Day on Sunday, been talking about Kenny Clark's mom, who was one of these super moms who raised someone who, you know, went in to play football, of course, for my Packers. But we'll be back in just a minute.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, we are back trying to figure out
which mics work and which mics don't.
Listen on the headphones, guys, and we'll be able to figure this out. And this is the sports guys. I can hear myself. John, pick up your headphones and see if you can hear yourself.
I will attempt to do that, although as Bill would probably say, why would I want to hear myself, right?
I'm hearing John. How about Bill?
I can, yes, I am hearing myself out of the...
Just talk in the microphone first.
One, two, good afternoon.
We're all here.
I think we're all present and accounted for. Good afternoon, folks.
We're all here because we're not all there. Is that the idea?
Something like that, Mr. Gestalt.
I once saw that in an island in a bar in St. John's. The place was called Skinny Legs, and right under it, their motto was, we're all here because we're not all there. And, you know, a couple drinks in the hot sun, and you understand why.
That may be a triple entendre, Bill. Yeah. It's very clever in any event. And great to be together again after a couple of weeks. A whole bunch of things have happened in the sports world as well as in the real world.
Well, and in our world.
One of the things that's really exciting for those of you who like basketball is the Philadelphia 76ers have forced a game
they
seven.
They forced a game seven.
It's a much better Toronto Raptors team.
Yeah, to extend them to game seven is an accomplishment, and they have a shot, a puncher's chance, as they say, to pull that off.
They certainly do. I mean,
I don't think they have any chance to beat the Bucks, who disposed of the Celtics in five games. Right. And the folks in Boston are pretty upset about things. You know, the Bruins are in the conference final. The Super Bowl trophy rests in Boston. The World Series trophy rests in Boston. And what, no NBA champion? They fully expect the Bruins to win it. And we'll have three straight championships. And the Celtics are letting everybody down. They just went to the conference semifinals. So there you have it, folks.
Yeah, and the Red Sox are sort of picking themselves up and dusting themselves off after a bad April. And you know what they say, John? You can you can't win a pennant in April, but you certainly could lose one in April.
Correct. And they almost did, but they're at 500 now, and we'll see what they can do. Interesting series. Good segue, Bill. In Tampa, where the Yankees find themselves in hostile territory with a lot of stars on injured reserve, on the injured list, and these young guys have been performing marvelously for them, making Boone look like a credible manager, and they're going down there. What do you think is going to happen this weekend?
Well,
think they can take two out of three from those guys?
I think they can. I'll tell you why. This is a team that seems to have caught some lightning in the bottle lately. All these young guys with something to prove.
Yeah, and they know now's their chance, because right. if they don't do something now, they're going to be back down in AAA.
Remember, a lot of these guys have played on other major league teams, like D. LeMahieu with the Cardinals. Clint Frazier's been up and down with other teams. So, you know, this is their chance.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The Yankees have a very strong farm system, and they're now really showing it.
Yeah, to their credit, better result than we thought. Early April, it was like, oh no, the injured list was long, and we figured the Yankees would get off to a start like the Red Sox. I think they were 6-15 or something, the Red Sox. I remember they were 6-12 anyway, and now they've gotten it back to 500. You know, you'd like to think that by June, the cream will rise to the top, and it's Yankees-Red Sox the rest of the way. But I don't think Tampa's going away for one reason. Starting pitching. And the pitching...
I agree with you there, John. Their starting pitching has been good.
And we all know that starting pitching is the most important thing. It's analogous to the quarterback, to the goaltender, and to the center on the basketball team. It's the most important position on the field.
And remember, there's been a lot of experimentation in baseball over the last couple of years of playing the game by committee, pitching by committee. Have a guy start the first and second innings and get rid of him and bring somebody else in.
Right.
Another two innings, bring somebody else in. And then in another inning, you're using another guy. And we've seen Cincinnati do that, not all that successfully. We've seen the Cubs do that with more success. But what we haven't seen yet is a game where somebody uses nine relief pitchers and it only goes nine innings. So,
well, actually, you know what? There's a term they have for that, because you actually saw that the first week of the season. What you do is you in effect, you're not opening with your closer, but what is the term, Bill, that they use? Because this is relatively new, that somebody came up with, actually where they borrowed it from, was what the Red Sox did in the World Series. Once Kimbrel became unreliable and they couldn't use Barnes every game, they, if you remember, brought in the deciding game, Porcello pitched the eighth inning and Sale pitched the ninth to win the World Championship. And teams started rolling out, in effect, middle relievers and relief pitchers to start the game.
Right. You would see them like...
But there's a term they coined for it, Bill. Do you remember what it is?
I'm not sure that I can recall, but I have to tell you that I think that's a trend we're going to see more in baseball.
Well,
because, you know, there are a lot of guys who can pitch well for one or two innings. And by
well,
the time the batters see them again...
Number one, that is the key. You're right. I think that's the key. But I think the bottom line is a reliever comes in, throws 97 to 99. Hard to keep that up. Even, you know, maybe a Nolan Ryan, a Roger Clemens, the real hard throwers can throw in the high 90s for most of the game. But the average starting pitcher is around 94. In fact, some of the David Price is around 92, 93. I don't think CC Sabathia is even breaking 90 anymore.
He is, but
on occasion.
Remember that he's become a finesse pitcher rather than a power pitcher.
Oh, of course.
And you'll notice that even when he is throwing a curve or a slider, he's getting a lot of push off of his back leg.
Lord knows he has enough back leg to make for two pitchers, but
probably he does.
But yeah,
this is his last season, and he's looking to become a sportscaster after that. I like. Some
he actually is fairly verbal and speaks clearly. He's a pretty smart guy, and he's definitely going to go to the Hall of Fame. 3,000 strikeouts. I can't remember his win total, but it's well into the 200s.
I think it's.
Mid twos, but the 3,000 strikeouts may get him in. But anyway, in my opinion, you can't put a premium, too big of a premium, on starting pitching because, you know, if you can roll out, especially because when the money time comes, you're rolling out in a short series. If you've got two great pitchers to come out. Well, you know, you start that. You may be up 2-0 in those series, and you got a short series. You can come back with them in games 5, 6, and 7 if you have to. So I think not only is it regular season victories you want to pile up the starters, but you need those premium starters to throw in the championship games. And to that end, what you're seeing now is a lot of pitchers going every 6 or 7 days rather than every 4 or 5 days. You're seeing guys go on the 10-day injured list. They are right. Saving the arms.
The 10-day injury list.
That changed
really
a lot of things.
A lot.
Yep.
But one other thing, and you know, because you know me, I'm not much on baseball. But I was just in the Dominican Republic last week. Unbelievable. Every kid
is out there swinging a bat, right?
And actually talked to a couple people working as waiters at, and, you know, one young man especially had wanted to come here so badly, had been injured. So he's not been able to play.
Right.
And maybe won't be able to get to play. But some of these kids actually, you know, pay to end up playing and getting a manager,
sure.
Getting somebody.
Sure.
But it was just unbelievable because,
yeah.
You know, they know everything about what's going on in baseball here. And
you know, it's amazing when you think about it how well-developed our system is from Little League through high school, through American Legion, travel team play, colleges now in the U.S., and the minor leagues, yet so many of the players are still coming out of places like the DR and other Central American countries. Bill, well, how do you account for that? The kids here can be playing T-ball at 4 or 5 years old. Is it just the natural talent abounds? Is it that they had? It's their only out to get out of those countries, and a kid with big-time talent is going to be exposed to the game early. He's not going to be playing football in the Dominican Republic.
Right.
So you get more talent going into baseball.
Well, I think that – but I also want to say, because he's playing now with the Trenton Thunder, there's a young man – from Hopewell Township. His name is Wagner, and I'm forgetting his first name.
Okay.
And he's playing with the Trenton Thunder, in fact.
Is he a pitcher?
I don't know what. No, I don't.
Probably not.
No, no.
Probably not.
He's not, but I don't know what position he plays. I should. But I know that Dave, my husband, and the grandkids were planning on going tonight, but now I'm not sure.
Yeah, the weather is sketchy. Yeah.
And but, you know, everybody around, all of the kids who are interested in baseball, I his name is on the tip of my tongue, but what a great thing for the kids who,
well, you know, Pat,
go to the Trenton
and Bill, I'll be curious to get your quick take on this. You know, Bill and I probably spend two-thirds of the year talking football. Used to be
90%,
and you spend 99% of your time. But look at, I mean, here we have three people, and we spend the majority of our time because football. I mean, it's an amazing game. It's only once a week, and there's only 16 games.
It's not once a week. where have you been living for the last?
I know what he's talking about, the NFL.
If it's your team,
but the NFL is
Friday night. There's Thursday night,
right?
Yeah,
Wednesday,
but
you catch up.
Yeah, but let's face it: when you're not watching your team, you're watching more out of curiosity. And if it happens to be a rival of your team, you're hoping somebody breaks their leg when you're watching that game.
Ooh.
But at least if you're from Philadelphia, you hope you think that way. Not Boston, of course. But having said that, my point that I was getting to was, isn't it amazing when May and June roll around, you revert to baseball? Baseball still will be the American game. I think as fervent as we are in October, November, December, as the football season gets close to playoffs and on the weekends. But with baseball, you have it almost every day. And, you know, if you grew up a fan of a weak team like I did in the 60s and the Red Sox were bad, and I was a five-year-old crying all the time, and that, you know, my mother's favorite line, she'd say, well, she called me Jack, she didn't call me John, but she'd say, but don't cry, they're going to play again tomorrow.
My mother would say, who's a rabid Dodger fan, so if they win, what do you get? So the Yankee fan, and I had to stop and think. So if they win, what do you get? Well, you know, it reduces your passion to a more manageable, hopefully more mature.
Yeah, but where's the fun in that, Bill?
Yeah, there's no fun.
Your mother was a politician. I could see that. But
yeah, but you don't. You guys, I'm going to interrupt. No, go ahead. And then I'm going to tell you my side of what happened with baseball.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
Nope. Go ahead. Finish what you had to say.
Finish your point, Bill.
I wanted to turn back to some of your comments about pitching. Let me give you a hypothetical. Supposing you're in a wild card game. You have a beat-up pitching staff or a so-so pitching staff.
Which is frequently the case.
Very frequently, you get to the wild card game because you've been charging hard through September and that fraction of October.
Because by definition, you made it by one game.
The skin of your teeth.
Skin of your teeth, yep.
Okay, now, what's your pitching strategy? Remember, you're playing a better team that finished ahead of you.
Right.
And you're playing the best team in the wild card game.
Who's probably got some rest.
Right. Now, do you pitch?
Are you talking about the wild card game itself or once you win it? Because once you win it,
no,
you're in the seventh.
No, the
The wild card game, you do everything you can to win that game, even if you have to run out every one of your pitchers out there and start game one of the division series with your a position player. I mean, you've got to get into that five-game series.
Exactly. So supposing you start in the first inning with the guy who might be your setup man for your closer, and you just have the guy throw bullets for the first two innings. Then you bring in one of your middle relievers, or you bring in one of your best starting pitcher who hasn't pitched in the past 4 days. And remember, because you don't want the same batters to ever see the same pitcher twice. That's my theory of this. What's your take?
Well, you know, Bill, I think it's moving in that direction, as you pointed out before. You know, with some of these young pitchers that are coming up, they're trying to run them in there and get them out of there before they go through the batting order a second time. So, and you see evidence of that, and it started by accident. The beginning of the year, there were so many pitchers on the injured list that hurt themselves in spring training. Some teams came north from Florida with their starting pitching staff not intact. And a couple of teams, there were a couple of National League teams that started the first week or two of the season were running relievers out there. So they were doing that. Then I think people said, you know, maybe there's some merit to this. So I think you could be seeing that. You could also see that in the dog days of summer when you want to give your starters a little bit of a rest. You might say, you know what, we've got 13 games the next 14 days. In the middle of that stretch, we'll run some relievers out there, give the starters a little bit of a reprieve, because that's the money game that we need at the end of the year. Pat, what was going to be your point about what's happened to baseball?
Well, you know, I grew up in a very unique situation. When I was little and I was young, we were all baseball fans. However, remember, there was no team.
But you lived in Green Bay.
Well, no, but we were all football. But still, baseball.
Milwaukee.
Remember, the Braves came from Boston when
That's
I
right.
was little. So all of a sudden, you know, it was really a dilemma, because most people, at least in southern Wisconsin, Cubs fans, diehard Cubs fans, or St. Louis, you know,
right.
fans.
But right.
in any event, so that was the thing. And then, of course, the Braves left, you know, within a few years. So then it was again.
Would they go to Atlanta, Bill, in 66? I believe it was 66.
One of Hank Aaron's last years.
Yeah, which was the same year that the Falcons came into the NFL.
Right.
But the, you know, so that was really very interesting, because everybody, diehard Brave fans, I mean, when they went to Atlanta, forget it.
Well, for a lot of people, it was the same thing when the Dodgers went west. I mean, let's face it,
exactly.
When your team leaves, I mean, I don't think that many people in Cleveland became Ravens fans. I mean, that's only natural.
But
you know?
That's when I lost all interest in baseball, to be perfectly honest.
Oh,
I
because
back,
as to
Braves,
you, your team,
Braves,
yeah. Yeah.
The Braves
left,
yeah, they,
and,
great,
you
yeah.
know, and although I'm somewhat of a Cubs fan, you know, it just, from then on, I think it really, for a lot of people in Wisconsin, you know, we were always huge football fans, and then that became basically our only sport.
Makes sense.
It sure does, because you were betrayed when the Braves
absolutely
won.
And they were all, you know,
they had good players.
Oh, they had great players.
Warren Spahn, Eddie Matthews.
Hank Aaron. Joe Torre.
Right.
At one point, I would have been able to name everybody on every base in the outfield
sure.
in order.
No, they had a solid team.
Oh, very.
They didn't win anything.
They did,
no,
too.
They won the
World Series.
Oh, that's right, 57.
Was it 57 or 59?
57. Yeah. Because
they
beat the Dodgers.
Because they went. When did they come to Milwaukee? They won that.
They went to Milwaukee
after.
In the very early, I think it was either 49 or 51. They were only there 5 or 6 years, and they won, and then they left for Atlanta in 66.
Was they there that early? I guess I don't remember.
I think it was 51, 52.
But I remember.
I think they only won one World Championship.
Maybe they, yeah, right. I couldn't even remember they did win a championship, but
oh,
you're
no,
right. They
definitely
did. They did, that's right.
It's either 50, I thought it was 57, but I could be wrong. It could have been 59. One of those 2 years.
Yep, yep.
But then they didn't stay that much longer. And
they never really built a fan base there in Atlanta.
Sure, they
offered.
They did.
The Braves?
A huge fan base.
In that short period of time, really?
In Milwaukee?
What stadium did they play in?
In County Stadium.
County Stadium. That's where the Brewers went. Originally, when the Brewers, they were in County Stadium.
Actually, for you football fans, that's where the Packers played part of their games.
Right.
And even now,
you usually have two home games every year in Milwaukee.
I think there were more. I think
maybe
there were at least. No, because
I thought it was
Milwaukee
two.
Milwaukee package and a Green Bay package.
Yeah.
Even now, there's still, maybe I could be wrong, but even now there is the package. I think they call it the gold package. They do. In
as
fact,
opposed to the green package?
Well, as to, for example, I guess it is two. Because this year, the people who have the gold package, which was the old County Stadium,
right.
And remember, was very foolish for people not to buy that. Because when they stop playing at County Stadium, they get two games. You're right. It's two games plus this year. I know they have a preseason game. So this year, the gold package is Denver and Oakland. Those two games are. So anybody who had that that package.
Pat, what do you think of, segueing quickly? I know we're into hockey playoffs, basketball, and, of course, baseball. But real quick, what did you think of the Packer draft? And what do you think their chances are this year to even make the playoffs? Or is it just a rebuilding year and save the life of the quarterback?
It better not be a rebuilding year. I mean, it's a new,
But you got a new coach.
New coach.
You got to rebuild the offensive line.
Absolutely.
They lost Clay Matthews on defense. You're still going to get some receivers.
I you know what? I think everybody is hoping. It's interesting. Now, do you two know that our teams are playing against each other this year? Are you both aware of that?
Yes, the Eagles play the Packers.
On the 26th of September.
Yes, and they play the Giants in October.
No, they play the Giants December 1st here.
Oh, it's in December. Okay.
December
1st.
Wow.
That's a game that might be worth going to.
I would love to get tickets for that.
How about that?
Because both teams have a chance of winning.
And frankly, you should want to go to Wisconsin. Beautiful weather, September 26th, and you could see Philadelphia.
Well, I don't know if it'll be beautiful weather here. It seems to be raining all the time.
Yeah, it's all we got is rain here.
That's a great time of year in Wisconsin.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then they're playing. Unfortunately, I would like to go to see the Minnesota Stadium, but they're playing in Minnesota on December 23rd.
Yeah, but isn't that a dome?
Yeah, but I mean, it's
I know you're still in Minnesota.
It's Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's true. That's true. That's true.
So,
and you still have to get to the stadium. They may have 20 feet of snow out there.
Yes. So I mean, it's not really the time of year. They're playing Minnesota on September 15th, but that's in Green Bay. So anyway, I would I hate the Vikings, but their schedule they're starting off and. I have to say, I think that first game, they're playing Chicago. And
that's a big game. That really makes if they somehow can find a way to win that game.
Yeah. I think their first two, they're playing Chicago and then Minneapolis. And frankly, until I see those first two games.
Right. You really want, if they somehow could be 2-0 after those games, then they're in it.
Yep, absolutely. Because then
if they're 0-2, maybe a long year.
Yeah, and Mac is a. I mean, unless he gets hurt and doesn't play, I mean, he has really turned around that Chicago team as far as I'm concerned. I don't think they would have won the number of games that they won last year. And frankly, they could have won the game against the Packers. I mean, it was just with a new quarterback last year, that second, I think Mac was tired the second half. I really have to tell you, I thought they were going to win that game. So we shall see, and I'm not making any predictions about my Packers. How about you guys? Do you have any predictions here based on the draft?
I think the Philadelphia Eagles have drafted well. I don't don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl team this year. We have to see how healthy Carson Wentz is and who he has to throw to and who he has to hand the ball to. I think Nelson Aguilar may have shot a bolt. He's probably somebody who is going to end up getting traded, although I think highly of him.
When they draft, he had a horrible first year. So, and they, he came back and had a good year. They got the good year out of the year they won. So, you know what? You can't complain about Aguilar because when they drafted him, it was a little bit of a reach. I think they drafted him around 20th, 18th or 20th, and they needed a wide receiver, and everybody said he's probably a second round pick. They thought he would do better, and it was very disappointing his first year, but he got better. He's going to have to do it for a couple of years to get paid. Yeah.
But, you know, the Eagles have improved at running back. They've improved offensively. And, you know, I was sorry if I am to see Nick Foles go. I'm glad he's not in the same conference. He's at Jacksonville. That's in the AFC. I wish him well there. Hopefully we'll see a Jacksonville Jaguars Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl with Wentz facing off against Foles.
Wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't that be ironic? That really would be.
I love the ironies in sports, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. But, you know, believe it or not, I know everybody thinks I'm crazy. I would hope that Jordy Nelson would come back, the Packers would have him play in the game against Minnesota, and that there's one long throw and Jordy makes a touchdown. Because as we know, he's set to retire as a Packer, but that would make my season.
Oh, I'm sure it would.
That's what we call a happy ending.
And just
Bill, this is a family show here, right. And you're making these allusions.
But the point is, it was always, you know, so great to see Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, and you know there are a few people that. You know, like Donald Driver, that you just wish they would have stayed another year. And
as far as Rodgers go, you better send him to charm school. He's starting to make more enemies than friends.
Oh, but really?
My sense of things around the league, he's lost some luster because he got his coach fired, and I don't think people like that so much. I think Rodgers is better than that. Hopefully, he comes back and he plays well and he shows it. But I think it's...
But you see, remember, I was not a McCarthy fan.
True.
So, you know...
Yeah, you're going to give him a pass on
whether
that.
He got his coach fired, frankly, you know, I think that McCarthy is...
Well, you know what's interesting, Pat? The Packers let him go, and he didn't get hired anywhere else.
Yep, you got
so
it.
You know something? Think there's something to that.
And, of course, what he said, I think he was very foolish if he wanted to get another job because he said he only wanted to come to New York.
Yeah, that was a crazy thing to say. Well, I think what happened was the disingenuous Jets said, you know, whispered in his ear, we're going to take you, but we're going to put you through the interview process to do it the right way, and we have to interview minority candidates and all that stuff. And during the interview process realized, you know what, he isn't our best candidate. I think at one point they were set to hire him.
Well, they probably were, but from his standpoint to say, I only want
yeah,
to
that
go
was
to
totally
New York
foolish.
Is
totally
foolish.
Yeah. I not mean, if you wanted to work again.
Not if you wanted a job. I mean, it's kind of a slap in the face to all the other teams
right.
who might have considered him.
Right.
But you know me, I was never a real McCarthy fan. I just wasn't.
Well, you know, football coaches come and go. They're there to be fired sooner or later. They're just not going to deliver. And, you know, it's interesting, whereas in some other sports, coaches just pick up and leave.
Well, like Holmgren. You know, I mean,
Is the money that good that they just
well,
stay?
And as I said, maybe I wasn't following it as closely, but I never expected Holmgren to leave when he left. And I don't think that there was any anti-Holmgren sentiment against him. I really don't. And I think a lot of people, including me, never liked the way McCarthy handled the Favre situation. And I understand that Rodgers needed to come up, he needed to play, but the way that whole situation was handled, I think, was very you know, very distasteful for a lot of us.
Well, sure.
That may be, but at the end of the day, you're as good as your record says. And speaking of as good as your record says, how about the Mets? They're 8-24.
Yeah, well, talk about that record. How about let's take a brief...
I think we ought to hit that money button,
I think we better...
Before we end up the New York Mets of this...
Yeah, well, we'll end up in the
big dog... Oh, Bill, perish the thought.
The big doghouse of the chamber.
Go.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, sports guys are back, and John and I want to thank Bill for holding the fort last week.
Yes, we do. Great job, we hear. Ratings were up.
Yeah, we had three listeners instead of two.
Yeah, when we do our ratings, we count ourselves.
Yeah, but one of them was somebody's cat, I understand.
Well, thank you. And yes, I was down hearing all about baseball in the Dominican Republic. And unfortunately, I don't know all of the players who actually came from the Dominican Republic. It's not something that's been on my radar.
But when you think about it, Pat, what a great idea. You go down for the family law conference in the DR.
Right.
Okay? As somebody who handles matrimonial, does prenups, you find some young phenom who is, you know, 17, 18 years old, and he's got his Chiquita that he's, and you say, wait a minute, we have a prenuptial agreement here to do before you make all the money in the major leagues. Get these kids
great
early.
Great idea. Actually, believe it or not, I got a call on a cell phone from somebody who is a client but needs a prenup, an international prenup.
Oh, those are tough.
So here I am saying, okay, but, you know, I really, you know, have to wait till I get back to New Jersey. But, yeah, actually, that was a good conference, and one of the programs was on international prenups, which was very
they are tough.
But any prenup, but anybody who doesn't have one, and you know what, John, you're absolutely right. Any
aspiring young player,
exactly. Now, of course, one of the things that can be of concern, and I met an attorney down there. Who's from another state here, but she's represented a number of, what did she call them? Baby mamas.
Baby
I never
mamas.
Had heard,
Bill, let's see if we can try to decipher that.
What?
Baby,
I never heard
a baby
that.
Mama. My guess would be either a very young girl or another possible construction would be a young girl or a girlfriend of a young player who has a child with that player.
I don't know if it's a young player, but they are the women
who are having
the children
by the professional athletes.
And one of them said that she was representing someone, and this player had six children by six different women.
Well, she must have been talking about Darrell Revis. I remember when he signed back with the Jets, he got $20 million signing bonus and didn't get a nickel of it because the day of the press conference when the Jets announced they were bringing him back, there was a string of women and lawyers with a bunch of little kids. I think he had eight or something. And eight women, you know, 12 kids and 20 lawyers, you know. He got zero. They were making fun of him in the sports media that he got like a $20 million signing bonus and net of taxes, lawyer fees, and back child support, he got zero.
Wow.
I think you should get the Darwin Award.
Yeah. Well, you know, the idea behind the evolution of things, that sort of contra to the way you think of things, but I get your point.
And, of course, a lot of the times it depends because not all of these children are in the same state. And I do know, you know.
The only good news, Pat, is there's so many zeros there, nobody really cares that much. You can fashion a remedy when you have lots of zeros.
That it's certainly easier to fashion a financial remedy. But when, in fact, one of the things that I think all the teams are doing now is really talking to these guys because it's a real problem, and you know, not just a problem from them but a problem from a lot of women. And I've been involved in a couple cases where there was no question, wasn't a professional athlete, but there was no question that the woman wanted to have a child by someone in a certain profession. And,
yep.
You know, and
decided
if she wanted a child, she wanted a child, but she wanted a child with somebody who was going to have to pay. So anyway, that's not sports, but
no, but you're a family lawyer, Pat, a darn good one, and you know what you're talking about there.
But I thought that was a new term I'd never heard of.
A baby mama.
Baby mama.
You don't get around much.
Why? You've heard of?
I've heard that term for years.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, Bill,
dealing with sports or dealing with Bill, I guess we better talk to you.
We're just country bumpkins.
And you're the bankruptcy attorney. And
guess what?
What we would like you to do.
I think
all
we're
of our
off.
Is if the program has a Facebook page, like and follow that page, and this way you'll get updates before the show airs on what is some of the topics that they'll be talking about on their shows. I usually put something out either the day of the show or something midweek if I have a guest coming up to let you know what's coming up on our show. I do want to make one program correction from last week.